out of the way for the goal. Move out of the way for the goal.
Oh, big knee!
The greatest of all time.
Here we go, the epic trilogy fight.
For the first time ever, Demetrius Johnson defends the one flyweight world championship in the USA.
Greatest of all time, I'm an animal. No bark or bite, that's why they call me GOAT.
One Fight Night 10, Johnson versus Marias 3 on Prime Video.
And now, Brandon Six Boy Schaub.
What's up, fam? Monday, April 24th. What is poppin'? How's everybody doing? Everyone's good, great, grand, wonderful. Busy weekend of fights in the fight game from the biggest boxing fight of the year. Hopefully it's not the biggest. Hopefully you get another big announcement, maybe with our boy Francis, a little wilder action. But either way, huge fight between Javante Davis, Ryan Garcia. And then you had our boy Curtis Blaydes ended up on the short end of the Russian stick against Sergey Pavlovich, which was a tough night in the office for Curtis Blaydes. It's heartbreaking for him. You also got Tucker Carlson left Fox, and you got Don Lemon left. So the world is going mad. The world is going mad. Did you know that, Jen?
No.
My brother just texted me. He's like, I don't know what's going on. Don Lemon just got fired at CNN.
That was kind of coming, though.
Yeah, he's made a few mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. I can't believe it lasted that long. And then Tucker Carlson, he decided to part ways with Fox.
That's dope, though. He can do his own thing.
That's why he's going to go on his own thing. They should do a First Take kind of Tucker Carlson, Don Lemon, First Take type of vibe. No one get a word out. They just argue the whole time.
That'd be fun to
watch. That'd be lit, though. Like Breaking Points, you know? You have the left and right. They do the thing. That'd be, I don't know if people would tune in. There's so much hatred for both of those men. But we'll see. Either way, so the world's on fire. So that's cool. So let's get right into it. The biggest event over the weekend, Curtis Blaydes. I'm sorry, Javante Davis, Ryan Garcia. Man, what an event. What a fight. If you guys were watching the entire card like your boy did, you saw a huge rising prospect in David Morrell. Just that savage that just absolutely murked that poor gentleman who was a bronze medalist who took the fight on like 10-day notice. That's part of the problem with boxing is the undercards, but that David Morrell is one to keep an eye on. Outside that, though, Javante Davis, Ryan Garcia, Javante Davis was a favorite for a reason. But before we get into the technical aspect of the fight and how Ryan lost and we go down that road, you got to take your hat off to both Javante Davis and Ryan Garcia, because the number one problem in boxing is the business model of boxing with so many promoters, so many mouths to get fed, is we don't get the fights that we want when they should happen. It's always been the number one problem in boxing since I've been alive. It's one of the reasons, might be the biggest reason, the UFC has totally taken over the combat sports space, because we know in the UFC, you're going to get the young prospect who's undefeated against the other young prospect undefeated. You're eventually going to get that fight. It's not going to take years. You're going to get in a few months. That's why the UFC destroys any other competition, especially in boxing. Not only are you going to get that, but the cards are going to be stacked with other blue chip, kind of guys, other big prospects, other big names that you know. The entire card from top to bottom, especially the main cards, are stacked. Boxing, even this fight card being massive, with Javante Davis and Ryan Garcia, the card wasn't great. Like, you couldn't wait for that main event to start. That's the other problem with boxing. But again, this all goes back to we need to take our hats off. No matter, I don't care if Ryan got knocked out in 10 seconds. I don't care if Javante Davis got knocked out in the third round. I'm not too concerned about the result of the fight, but you need to acknowledge that Ryan Garcia and Javante Davis, who are, from a younger generation, they don't subscribe to the old boxing ways where we don't get the fights we want to see. There's all these weird stipulations. There's all these contract negotiations. These two gentlemen wanted this fight, even despite their teams going, it's going to be tough, or for whatever reason, there's no belts on the line. They decided to add a catch weight, and they made the fight happen, which is in today's world in boxing is insane. So both these guys finally gave us what we wanted. And, I don't know if you'd say it's the exact fight you thought you were going to get. And, you know, I tweeted this right after the fight. Just watching Ryan and my experience in combat sports, when you get hit to the body, you know, it sucks at first. You'd rather get hit in the head, for God's sakes. But when you get hit to the body, you know, there's a delay. So you can see the delay set in on Ryan Garcia, and then he takes a knee. But especially with Ryan's pedigree, especially with his experience, you know, it's just a matter of time before that pain goes away and you're back in the fight. So I thought, but him taking a knee, that's normal. Everyone, you get hit to the body, especially in boxing, take a knee, recover, you're going to make the count, and you get back up, and you have a little time to navigate. Then you use footwork to negotiate the pain away until it completely goes away. Then you can go back to your game plan. So when I saw him not answer the bell, not answer the standing eight count, and I'm like, oh, something's going on there. He had to have been hurt, because guarantee you he's ever, he's been hit there many times. You can take that down, Jen. He's been hit many times before, many, many times before, and I guarantee you got back up. But with this, that's what I alluded to. Oh, he came in injured. Now, that doesn't mean he was going to win the fight. That doesn't mean that, you know, when he got dropped in the second round, that had anything to do with it. All I'm saying is I bet if Ryan didn't have a body injury, a rib injury going into that fight, we would have got more rounds. I'm not saying he would have won the fight, you know? And for the people like, oh, you know, I would have got up off that body shot. Really? How many times have you been hit to the body? You know, so I'm not making any excuse for Ryan. All I'm saying is it's a shame he had that injury going into the fight, because we would have saw more rounds. It was not looking great for him. You know, his left hook was completely isolated. Javante Davis' team did a ridiculous job just kind of negating that left hand. So his hook, his biggest weapon, you really didn't see it at all. He might have landed a counter. His jab, you know, was probably his best weapon throughout the fight. Outside that, you know, Ryan Garcia had his hands full. And Javante Davis is known, you know, to kind of, he's a slower starter where he downloads the data and then goes to work, similar to Floyd Mayweather. Difference is he knocks guys out. So Javante Davis, even though he knocked him out in that second, or knocked him down that second round, that was due to Ryan Garcia being so aggressive. I think the moment, you know, Javante Davis has been in those big pay-per-view fights. Ryan Garcia, he's been in big fights because he's Ryan Garcia. He's never been in a fight of this magnitude. And I thought his inexperience kind of got, he got a little over, kind of, not maybe excited. He got a little overzealous. He was too excited in the moment. Thought he was going to get Javante Davis out there when he landings. And when that happened, that's when, you know, he got knocked down the second round. And then in that seventh round, which Javante Davis predicted, he put him down with that body shot. Again, that fight was not going Ryan's way. I thought you could give him maybe 2 to 3 rounds, three being super generous going to that seventh. So the fight was definitely not going his way. All I'm saying is for a guy of Ryan Garcia's caliber to not answer the count off a body shot, there had to be something going on outside of the ring going into the fight. That's it. You know, it's weird. We got so much blowback from that. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Weird. And then his training partner gets on there and goes, yeah, I hurt him to the body in practice. You know?
Ongoing kid. Erdinabat Senbatar.
A lightweight prospect posts this. Ryan Garcia confirms he had a mole in his camp before the Javante Davis fight. After 5-0 Mongolian sparring partner, you guys know his name's going to be tough, speaks out about hurting him to the body in sparring, something Javante Davis knew about the fight. Now, I did see this kid to defend this sparring partner of his goes, I'm not the mole. Mm. Yeah, I guess he said he was using some sort of translation. He was, you know, English in my first language. I'm not saying I was the mole and ratted to Javante Davis. I'm just saying one of the reasons he didn't answer the count is because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. That's all he's saying.
No, that's so. I think Ryan was saying, like, okay, how would people know about this unless there was a mole?
Yeah, and I think he's thought,
just a guy that.
Yeah, and he thought maybe Ryan was alluding to him, but I don't. That's not what Ryan's saying.
That's a spark,
And Ryan also was like, that's not why I lost the fight. Mm-hmm. It just sucks we have a mole in the camp. You know, so my whole thing there, that's, it's not, again, I said this, it's not taking anything away from Tank Davis. He was the better boxer. You know, and right now, until Ryan gets some more experience under his belt in those bigger fights, it's going to be a tough night in the office to beat Tank Davis. Ryan had his moments, but overall, Javonte Davis was doing very well handling that fight for the majority of the rounds, even dropped him. You know, and shout out to Ryan for taking that punch and getting back up, because Tank hits like an absolute fucking Mack truck.
Got up like that, too.
Yeah, so, you know, I all I'm alluding to is Ryan Garcia, the caliber, and he's been boxing since he was 7. He's been hit to the body. He knows how to navigate that pain and get back to his feet. For him not to do that in the biggest fight of his life, yeah, sir. I've been there. Yeah. Yep. I was like, oh man, he's like, oh, he's hurt. Everyone's like, oh, you're making excuses. No, I didn't think, I never say he was going to win the fight. I'm just saying if he wasn't hurt, you would have got more rounds. Now, would he have been stopped in the 8th, 9th, 10th? Probably. The way that fight was going and the way we know Tank gets better as the rounds go on, yeah, it would have probably gotten worse for Ryan, to be honest, you know? But again, I don't care too much about the outcome of this fight. What you need to make note of is Ryan, think about all the bullshit going on with boxing right now, with Tyson Fury, Usyk, Crawford, Errol Spence Jr. How many times have we heard Errol Spence and Crawford are going to fight? Last 4 years, probably three years, we've been promised that fight every year. Why do you think that's not happening? Now, Javonte Davis's camp, Ryan Garcia's camp, even they're like, the promoters, like, yeah, we don't know. We're not with Showtime. We have to kind of, you know, bend the knee to him. Ryan's like, yeah, cool. Then with Tank, you know, they're like, man, let's go for somebody else. It was probably easy for Showtime to put this on, you know, with the team Money Mayweather shit, all that. It'd probably be easier if we go with this opponent. And Tank goes, nope, I want Ryan. Ryan goes, nope, I want Tank. Get it done. Ah, but you got to do this. You know, you can only meet him at a certain weight and it's going to be a catch weight and there's no titles online. They don't care. These young kids do not care. And it's kudos to them. And these old heads with Tyson Fury, Usyk, Joshua, you know, anybody, name any fighter out there, Errol Spencer, Terrence Crawford, take freaking notes, man. Look how big of, when's the last time you saw that big of a fight in boxing? And just the atmosphere, it was insane, dude. Win, lose, or draw, what these guys did is exactly what boxing needs to even compete with the UFC. UFC knocks out matchups and they have way more stars. They knock them out every month, damn near every week. Boom, what do you want? Yep, boom, boom, boom. You know, it's the number one problem in boxing. Number one problem. But these, you should really, no matter how you feel about the outcome of the fight, really tip your hat to both these gentlemen for getting it done. Amazing, amazing fight card. Amazing, amazing just event overall. Ridiculous. You know, it sucks. Ryan's my boy and, you know, I want him to win. But at the end of the day, there's a reason he was such a big dog. There's a reason, and also with the weight cutting and couldn't rehydrate, like I'm sure that had an effect on him going in injured. You know, it's a tough gig against Javonte Davis, who, you know, is right now the face of boxing. And for, you know, only being 136 pounds, which he's even lighter than that, but fight at 136 pounds, to be that much of a knockout artist is insane. 26 knockouts is silliness. Face of boxing, man. And dude, in his outfit, His robe, the human made robe, and then he had the Nike Dunk skunks on that they converted into boxing shoes. Dude, filthy. And then Ryan Garcia looked dope too. But that's what you want, man. That's what you want. I thought it was great. There's really nothing like a big boxing fight of that caliber. Just the atmosphere, the vibe. Like, damn, this is great.
Everyone was out there.
Y'all must have forgot. Yeah. But we did. How could we remember? Boxing doesn't give us this ever, ever, ever. Look, Tyson Fury's gonna fight homeboy.
Who's it? No.
No. That Ruiz.
Oh.
Okay. It's not. But Usyk's the champ. He has all the belts. Okay. Find any Ruiz, I guess. Anthony Joshua Tyson Fury. Biggest fight in UK London history. Make that happen. Mm-hmm. No. Don't get it. Crawford Spence. Let's see who's pound for pound and one. Mm-hmm. No. Not happen. It's insane. It's nuts. It's their number one problem. The UFC dangerous announcing all sorts of fights. Some you're like, right? Some you're like, all right. But overall, the point is they dropped some bombs, dude. They got Belial Muhammad. Gilbert Burns, co-headlining UFC 288, May 6th. We're doing a fight companion for that. Belial Muhammad is on the episode today. We're sitting down with Muhammad. He's calling in. Interested to talk with him. He's one of my faves. And what's interesting about Gilbert Burns and Muhammad. Also, Gilbert Burns, the run he's on. Three fights this year. Nuts. And before that, his fight with Khamzat, which I think was the most impressive thing he's done, even out of all of his wins. Like, what he did with Khamzat's nutsos. So he's fought those four fights, three and one out of the four fights. He's fighting back-to-back, right? Was he taking 2 weeks off? Now he's fighting Bilal Muhammad. Muhammad wins, what's that, 10 in a row? So where the issue comes, I'm going to talk to Muhammad about this, where the issue comes is if Bilal Muhammad were to win this fight, that'd be 10 in a row, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that'd be 9. So 9 in a row. You've beat everybody. I just don't get where the argument is for Colby Covington. I'm a Colby fan. I love Colby. He's a good dude. But I just don't see how, after beating Gilbert Burns, if he were to get it done, how you cannot give him the title shot. But Dana's pretty adamant on Colby versus Leon Edwards. So if you're Bilal Muhammad or Gilbert Burns, whoever wins this fight, I just don't see how the UFC is not going to go, nah, let's give you one more. There's no way. There's no way. Literally, you can't. It's like, no, the winner of this is getting a title shot. Yeah. Guarantee it. Have to. And if they are going to carry on with Leon Edwards and Colby Covington, these boys are probably sitting out, what? Because Leon Edwards and Colby, Leon says he's not fighting on the pay-per-view in London. That's not happening. So they announced a fight night. So you're looking at Leon Edwards fighting late this year. So if he fights late this year against Colby, if you're Muhammad or you're Gilbert Burns, you're looking at fighting early quarter one, 2024. Mm. That ain't right. Isn't that fucked up? Now, luckily, Gilbert got his work in. You know, he could use a bit of a rest. Not a year, though, you know? Yeah, that May 6th card is tasty, bro. Super tasty. Let me see the lineup, Chin. Yeah, because you 288, they were going to have Charles Oliveira, right? Charles Oliveira and Dariush, and then they got hurt. So they're like, all right, say less. You got Aljamain Sterling, Henry Cejudo, fire. Muhammad Gilbert Burns, which is five rounds, mind you, which I love when they do this. When, even though it's not for a title, Dana's like, well, this is such a big fight, we're going to make it five rounds. I think you should do that more often. Jessica Andrade, Jan, Mosavar, Bryce Mitchell, Crone, Drew Dober. Yeah. It's a tasty main card. I'm excited for it. Yeah, but shout out to Bilal Muhammad, who will be on the show a little bit. And then also shout out to Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis for getting it freaking done and saving boxing right now. God, how many chains did Floyd Mayweather have on? I don't know. How do you put them on? It must take 30 minutes to take those off.
I'd be scared to wear them.
He has security everywhere, but it also has to be uncomfortable.
I know. It's got to be heavy as shit.
My God. It looked so uncomfortable. He looked sweet, but not for me, man. I mean, I don't even know how much money that is in chains. Insane, man. Let's take a little break from chatting all the big fight talk because it's NBA playoffs time. That means big hoops action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Get in on the excitement of every game with a touch of a button. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, everyone can score a no-sweat same-game parlay every day during the NBA playoffs. Open the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and place a same-game parlay on any NBA game. If it doesn't hit, you'll get a bonus bet back up to $10. My Nuggets, they should have won last night. It went to overtime, even though they were down 10 with like 3 minutes left. Went to overtime. They lost. Not a big deal. The series is, what, 3-1 now? They're going to blow them out this next game. Put your money on my Nuggets. You can also bet on the Lakers. They're owning Memphis right now. The Knicks should get it done as well. Who else you got popping? Golden State, not a bad bet, especially if it's at home. Game 5, they're definitely going to try winning that one. They did start out the series 0-2. Now I think it's tied up 2-2. So Golden State's not a bad bet. There's a lot of action going on, but bet on my Nuggets get done in the West. Also bet on Golden State to get it done as well. They ain't going out like that. Download the app right now. Sign up with the code SHOBSHOW. New customers can make a $5 pregame money line bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code SHOPSHOW, S-C-H-A-U-B, SHOW. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. That's 467-369. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino Resort, Kansas, 21 or older, most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. See show notes for details. DraftKings. This episode of the Shop Show is also brought to you by the best Kratom on the planet. It's one that I recommend because I use every day. Most products, oh, damn near every product that you recommend, that I recommend on every single show I do, I'm personally endorsing and that I actually use the products. I reached out to Happy Hippo to be part of all my shows because I love Happy Hippo Kratom. This stuff helps me tackle my insane schedule. It helps me get stuff done. Sometimes my brain just ain't working like it should. Listen, it's not like if you drink like a lot of caffeine or something like that. You're talking about it gives you a warm, ready to go, balanced, good mood feeling to tackle whatever the day throws at you. My favorite are the instant shots here. This is the sour apple, which I start out with. They have butterscotch. They have gummies, powders, whatever, pills, anything you want. It's the best Kratom. It's the only Kratom that I trust out there in this wild, wild west Kratom game. It's the number one Kratom on the planet for a reason. That's Happy Hippo. Their Kratom is a hidden gem. So get it on the action. Go to happyhippo.com. Promo code is THICC with three C's, THICCC 23 for 20% off the entire site. And you can use that as many times you want. Share it with your friends, your family, coworkers, whoever's listening to this. You want to try out Kratom? Only try out Happy Hippo. It's the only one I recommend. That's happyhippo.com. Promo code THICC 23, 20% off. Let's get back to the program. And another fight over the weekend, you had Sergey Pavlovich versus Curtis Blaydes. Tell me if I'm off on this. You know, I'm a big Curtis Blaydes fan, trains with my old team. We've had Curtis on Food Truck Diaries, love Curtis Blaydes. He's always just come up short right before he's getting a title shot. Right, he's like right at the cusp. He's either number four or number three, maybe even up to number two, and then right at the cusp, boom, loses by KO. Francis, Derek Lewis, then Sergey. Ain't that a bitch?
Yeah, and they're all like strikers.
All just straight strikers. Yeah. He didn't even, well, he attempted a double leg, but Sergey stopped it with his crazy ass Russian hips. It wasn't even close, but he also didn't set it up. It also looked like, again, and I don't know Curtis that well to sit to, but I'm just going off what I see. He didn't look like he was in the moment. Like if he, something looked off. Am I right about that, Jim?
His beard.
Wasn't tailored like he usually is.
Usually like sharp and.
Yeah. He just looked off. Like his striking wasn't as crisp. Maybe it's the power of Sergey when he, because Curtis at one point covers up and gets hit and you see him go, and he's like, holy shnikes. You know, it just didn't look like your typical Curtis Blaydes. Like, obviously the Tom Aspinall one, that was just an injury. But the Chris Dukakis, the Rosenstruik, the Volkov fight, the Junior Dos Santos especially, it just didn't look, the Alistair Overeem one, the Mark Hunt, the Olenek, all those. Mm-hmm. That didn't look like the usual Curtis Blaydes we're used to seeing, especially that magnitude of a fight. I thought it was very strange. Such a bummer. He's such a good dude. I think he matches up well against John Jones, but for whatever reason, he gets to the tip of the mountain, and all you got to do is get a little higher, and it just hasn't worked out for him. It's such a bummer. Yeah. But he's still, especially in the heavyweight division, everyone's older. He can still do work there. It's not over for him. He can still be a champ. You know, this is just another bump in the road. You know, but for Sergey Pavlovich, who hasn't lost since he fought fucking Alistair Overeem, Alistair beat the brakes off of him, which is hilarious. That's how good Alistair is. He lost in 2018. So he lost 5 years ago to Alistair Overeem in China. Yeah, Alistair really put it on him. But after that, it's been Sizzler, Russian Sizzler. I mean, he's just starching boys. That's, oh my God, look at this dude's freaking record. Since he's been in the UFC, in the UFC, he lost his first fight, not the way he wanted to start, but it's Alistair Overeem. They're obviously high on him if they give him Alistair Overeem. They knew they had something special. First fight, Alistair Overeem in China, nightmare. All good. After that, He's never had a fight in the UFC that didn't result in a KO. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 6 in a row. That's a record. He hits so hard. And then his hips, when Chris Blachow on that double, my God, those heavy Russian hips, dude. My God. He was not having any of it. And the thing, too, you look at him, he's not fat. That boy got his obliques, six-pack, just big-ass Russian hands, them freaking Russian nuclear bombs for hands. That boy is a problem. Now, of course, everyone's high and mighty on the Russian right now, and he's going to do his thing. But when they're like, man, this guy's going to beat John Jones. Like, whoa. Take it easy. He could, you know, if he lands one of those freaking nuclear bombs he's dropping every fight. But Jones is a different pedigree than the rest of the guys that he's fighting, you know. I think Jones would be a favorite against him. Obviously, if he lands one, it's going to be an issue. But how about him versus Francis, dude?
That would have been
some African Russian crime. Sign me up, dude. That poster would be insane. That's a fight I'd love to see, but you're never going to get it. But I think his toughest matchup for Sergey, and I do think this is what's next for him, is Ciryl Gane. I think it's his toughest matchup by far, because Ciryl Gane has the ability, if he fights smart, to beat him via decision with his footwork, his length, his agility, his athleticism. He has a lot of tools to beat a big puncher. He really does. And it won't be exciting, but it'll beat him in 5 rounds. I think he'd be a slight dog against Ciryl Gane. So I do think that's what's next for him, because you got Stipe Jones fighting. He's not going to wait. Ciryl Gane needs a fight. Sergey's number 3. Ciryl Gane's right there. They've never fought. 2 strikers. He passes that test, then it's John Jones. The question is, does John Jones wait around to fight a guy in Sergey, who's not a huge name? We know him, right? We know him because we, you know, balls deep in MMA. But in general, the fan base, it's not going to be a huge pay-per-view. It's all going to be predicated on John Jones selling this thing. So is John Jones going to entertain that? How many fights does John have left? You know, because there's the Stipe fight, which we're going to get. Then after that, is it a Brock? Do they get Francis back? Is that all he wants, is these massive fights? If he wants the toughest test and the biggest contender, it'd be Sergey. More so than Francis, more so than Ciryl Gane, more so than Stipe. The toughest fight on the roster, hands down, after watching tape, would be Sergey. I just don't know if that gets John out of bed. Even though he's this terrifying Russian like Drago from fucking Rocky III, you know, I just don't know if John's going to play that game, how long he wants to be around. Yeah. Be fun to watch, though. Mm-hmm. Man, he hits hard. My God. Oh, man. You had some fights this weekend. For the rest, I mean, the Bobby Green, Jared Gordon. My boy Jared Gordon can't get a break. So he gets screwed over by the judges against Paddy Pimblett. And like, all right, we're going to give you a big fight, main card fight night at the Apex. I'm kind of sick of the Apex, but at the Apex, here's Bobby Green. And then Bobby Green, not, you know, he didn't mean to, but southpaw traditional stances happens. You got to be careful with headbutts. Bobby Green leads with his head, knocks him out. It's a no contest. So there's, I guess they rebooked this. My boy can't get a break, though, man. It's a bummer. Bruno Silva looked phenomenal against Brad Tavares. You know, overall, good night of fights. Montel Jackson's going to be a problem at bantamweight. He's giant. That Ronnie Yaya just was not ready to go for that.
Old school.
Super old school. Mm-hmm. He treated him like he was old school. This weekend, you got, not this weekend, May 5th, you have in Broomfield, Colorado, Denver, Colorado, but it's Broomfield, which is about 30 minutes outside of Denver, at the First Bank Arena, where your boy had his first MMA fight with Ring of Fire. Snap. I fought my entire... kind of outside the regional circuit was at the U.S. Bank Center. So I fought there four times, wow, before I was in the UFC. So it's my home base. And that's where ONE Championship is coming. It's going to be on live on Amazon. That's Friday night, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, my girl's B-Day. I will be in Denver for the fights, flying out. You'll see my ugly mug out there on the TV maybe. But that is the ONE Championship Fight Night 10. And man, they're coming big time. ONE breaks ground in the U.S. for its debut event in Colorado. The MMA Mecca, that's right. UFC started in Denver, Colorado in 1993. All right. But you got the trilogy fight between the GOAT, Mighty Mouse, versus Marais. And they each have a win over each other. First one was a knee. Marais kneed Mighty Mouse on the ground. It kind of looked like Mighty Mouse was playing the old school rules and didn't realize you could knee to the face to a down opponent. So he lost that one. And then Mighty Mouse in the rematch, shout to him, in the rematch knocks out Marias with a knee. So knee on knee action here. Third fight. It's also, it's not like either guy dominated in their first two fights. Like it's back and forth. Like in the one, Marias won, Johnson had his moments. In this last one where Mighty Mouse won, Marias had his moments. Like it's a gimme fight, man. So I'm excited for this. Here's the other thing you got to think about. Mighty Mouse, who across the board is going to be on people's list of greatest of all time. You know, it doesn't really matter because it's all hypothetical because there's no actual list. There's no way to prove it. But Mighty Mouse, no matter if he's not top three on your list, you ain't shit, right? So for Mighty Mouse, he's talked about this could be his last fight. The greatest of all time at his age, and he's not that old, especially for a flyweight, but at his age, this could be the last time you ever see him grace the steel cage. I almost said the octagon, but it's not octagon, is it? So this is one for history, man. It's one of the biggest trilogies. Mighty Mouse needed kind of the villain, and even though Marias is a great guy, you know, Mighty Mouse is beloved by everybody across the entire fan base. So it just, for Marias and the way he finished Mighty Mouse that first fight, title fight, he became the villain. So it's exactly what Demetrius Johnson needed. I'm all about guys retiring early, and this would be a little easy for Mighty Mouse, even though he's had a storied career and has so many fights. But after he, if he can get past Marias for in this trilogy fight, I don't know what else there's left for him to do in the sport. He's one of the greatest of all time. Marias would be world champion in any organization. He's such a savage. Chin, you didn't come with me to the press conference. He's massive. Marias? He's so big.
Really?
Massive.
I mean, he looks big next to DJ.
Dude, massive. Wow. Massive talent. So for DJ to beat him, you know, and kind of cement his legacy, move on from this, you know, this kind of, it's not bad blood. It's just, you know, two world-class guys going at it, and each one has a win over each other. So this third one, we don't need to see it a fourth time. So this third one kind of cements that. So you guys know who I'm going for. So I'm excited for it, man. The whole card's damn good. The whole card is fire. Rod Tang's on there. Mm-hmm. If you don't know who he is, you will if you watch this. He's probably the greatest Muay Thai artist on the planet. Mikey Mushishemi is on there.
Mushimeshi.
The Brazilian jiu-jitsu, technique-wise, probably pound for pound number one in the world. As far as technique goes, he has Stamp Fairtex on there. Sage Northcutt coming off a long layoff his back. Not an easy fight. And then you got Roberto Soldic. I said Soldic. Soldic, the Croatian RoboCop. So good fights, man. Really good fights. Our boy RDR is on there too, coming off his loss, but still. This says announced bouts. Marcus Almeida, is he really on there?
I didn't see.
I haven't seen anything on it. Maybe he's not on there. Maybe they couldn't find an opponent. But yeah, the whole card's gonna be fun, man. I'll be there. Going back to the hometown, man. It's gonna be fun.
Cool.
All right, what do you got, Jim?
So this was pretty popping in MMA news. Nate Diaz. There's two different incidents he was in.
But the guy that he choked out is different. You said there's two different incidents. Yeah. So I saw online he's sitting at the fights on probably a regional fight because it looked very crowded. His buddy,
Chris Avila, was fighting.
Okay.
Who won his fight.
Okay.
So he was there to support.
The boxer. Yeah. So, and I saw the guy behind him was doing something. So then Nate Diaz, who's just a real sharp shooter with the water bottles, blasted at the dude. But that's not the same dude that he choked out, right?
No. But that's – so the chokeout came – I think it was after,
yeah, it was after
the event,
yeah.
But the guy that he threw the bottle at was his crew, and Nate Diaz's crew ended up at the same bar. So then they got into a scuffle again.
And that guy was part of their crew?
I think he was part of that crew.
Yeah, they thought it was a Logan Paul like lookalike.
Yes. That guy, what's his name? Aiden?
Yeah.
His homeboy here. Well, he was with Aiden Ross. So he was with Dana White, and then they're showing a video. He was like, oh, dude, Nate Diaz just, you know, slept Logan Paul. But it just looked like
Oh, he was just saying that. Yeah. What's interesting is, you know, I put play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Mm-hmm. And I forget, someone responded back to me and goes, play stupid game, win lawsuits. And he's right. Like that. It's like for Nate, too, it's like he has so much to lose. And obviously this is Nate's forte, you know, if you disrespect Nate, you're going to be dealt with, you know, so he doesn't care about that stuff. But the day and age we live in where you can just sue anybody for any reason, especially if that guy has more to lose, you know, for Nate, it's like, yeah, I could sue him, man.
Yeah.
What's that guy have? Like, what's Nate going to get out of it? But also, when people are upset, like, oh, Nate, professional fighter's going to choke this guy out. Well, what's Nate supposed to do? That, if that guy's approaching Nate Diaz and Nate has his hands up, clearly Nate's there, you know, he's going to defend himself. He didn't throw a single punch.
No.
It was probably best case scenario for homeboy. You just get choked out. Yeah, it's embarrassing. You get lit up on the internet, and we're talking about it now, and we've never heard of you. Now, the only reason we know of you is because you got choked out on the streets, wherever this is at. That's embarrassing. But you didn't get knocked out. You didn't get punched in the face.
I think that people are saying that in the when it was happening, that when Nate Diaz let go, he did hit his head on the concrete.
Yeah, or
the
man. We can, you know,
street.
Should happen.
So that sucks. But, I mean, I'll show you the video real quick. It's not that long. So the guy came up with his hands up, too.
Yeah. And then I guess Nate didn't know if he was going to sucker punch him or what. Boy, Nate gets in that tight choke, too. Clearly, the guy doesn't know jiu-jitsu in any facet.
So he's, and then just recently, there's a new angle on this one. I'll show you here.
This just builds the myth of Nate Diaz. Mm-hmm. So guys are fighting. So
yeah,
already the atmosphere is very intense. Clearly his team's down to fight. Mm-hmm. And then this guy comes with Nate. Nate doesn't know if he's going to sucker punch him, if he's going to shoot a double. You don't know. So Nate's defend himself. You don't want to get in street fights. This is silly shit, especially for Nate Diaz, because, mm-hmm. again, these guys can sue you. Nate has all the money in the world. This guy has nothing.
Yeah, so
that's the worst case. I mean, that's what you don't
want. That sucks, yeah.
Yeah, that, for him, that sucks. But also,
yeah,
don't mess with Nate Diaz.
So that guy chased him more. Do you ever watch Too Hot to Handle? It's a Netflix.
I know of it. It's a dating show on Netflix.
So that guy chased him more is the one that Nate threw a bottle at, and he fought on that that event. Let me see if I can find that video.
He's an MMA guy?
No, this is a boxing event, but I'll show you this real quick. So that's him in the white.
So he knocks somebody. Oh, wow.
And he keeps punching. So he got disqualified for that.
Yeah, can't have that.
Can't do that. And I don't know. So anyway, this guy is like, he's known for the Too Hot to Handle. And I guess some weird way they started a beef together. I don't know why.
I assume he was talking smack to Nate.
Yeah.
Just for you, because Nate's not a guy that just talks smack for no reason. Like, there has to be something going on there. Like, he's not just going to turn around to another fighter he respects and talk shit to just for the cameras. That's not Nate.
Yeah, also the water bottle thing, I didn't really understand. I didn't see anything happen. The video just shows Nate turning around and throwing a water bottle.
Yeah, maybe the guy kept talking.
Maybe he was talking smack, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, either way.
But it's just interesting. And Nate's been getting all this attention, especially after, you know, just the announcement of the Jake Paul stuff, too.
Yeah.
This is a quick one. I don't need to play the video, but Conor McGregor went to the
dressing
room.
I saw the video. Yeah, that's great. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah.
Like if you're Ryan Garcia and, you know, say what you want about Conor, but he's been in some of the biggest fights ever in combat sports. Like, for him to come in and be like, you're the future, man. I want to see it again.
Yeah.
And one of the problems that the boxing community has because of guys, MMA has it a little bit, because of guys like Floyd Mayweather, who's whatever, 50-0, or, you know, Tyson Fury and their undefeated records, and then MMA of Jon Jones. That's not really how the sport should go. So in boxing, it's all good. Ryan lost at his young age. Canelo lost to Floyd Mayweather at a young age. Turned out pretty good for him. He's had a Hall of Fame career. So I think once the fan base gets more knowledge, it goes, yeah, guy loses, comes back. You know, it's all good. A loss does not end your career. It doesn't make or break your career. Now, his next fight, he needs to show out and perform, but that's usually how it should go. So I think people lose it in translation where they're like, well, Floyd was undefeated. Jon Jones is undefeated. It's like, yes, those guys are they're once in a lifetime talent, generational talent. It's okay if a guy loses. It's all, especially when they're young. It's all good. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
And I guess he's changing weight classes too after this to 140.
Yeah.
All right, this is a quick one. So there was a Bellator over the weekend, and I believe Kyoji Horiguchi, ex-UFC guy, badass Japanese dude, and Ray Borg were supposed to fight each other. I think that was like the main event too, but then, was it the main event?
No, it was the main event.
I forgot, whatever.
No,
either way.
At least not on Saturday, because in Hawaii too, right? Stotts was the main event. He got homeboy knocked him out with a knee.
Mm, okay, so... Yeah, I didn't look too much in this, but then, so this is like, I read it was like the 17th time there was a cancellation, not just weight, but just cancellation that has to do with Ray Borg.
Yeah.
So Bellator cut him, and also his management team cut him.
Like, we're done.
And then Ray said he just retired.
Yeah, he said if it were to happen again, he's going to dip out. So yeah. Good for him. And also, remember, Ray Borg has an issue
with
his kid.
A lot of shit,
yeah, it's
dude.
A lot, man. So for don't hold it against him too much when he misses weight or whatever. I know it's unprofessional, but he's fighting a much bigger fight outside the octagon.
All righty, let's go to. So Paulo Costa was saying that he's going to help save the UFC 288 card with challenging Jan Błachowicz. He would go up to 205. And then apparently Jan's saying that he actually got offered the fight, but then Paulo turned it down.
Well, because Paulo, they're out from Hamzat, so he's like, all right, that's a bigger fight.
I mean, there's more, I don't know.
So a few days ago, Paulo Costa got offered to fight me. I've said yes. He said no. The fight is off. How much juice does he need? One bottle of wine is enough to knock this guy out.
But yeah. Then he's a social media dude that likes to do stuff, so I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yep, Paulo. And then also from the business aspect of things, too, for Paulo Costa, they're like, so we'll give you, if you want to do Jan at 205, you can do that, or we'll give you Hamzat, but you got to take one of the two. And he's like, well, Hamzat's a bigger fight, and it's at 85. I'll take that. Mm.
And this is another quick one. Floyd Mayweather, he was talking about Ngannou being, you know, free agent, and he would like to sign him and work with him as well.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We need something out of Francis, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then, so you mentioned all the bout announcements. So this is one that was big. Robert Whittaker versus Dricus du Plessis. That's for UFC 290.
Listen, I'm a du Plessis fan. I do enjoy his fights. I think he's a complete badass. Actually, that guy in one championship, that Croatian Robo got beat him, you know? So that's how much of a badass that guy is. But who knows if he only had 8% to breathe there. But with du Plessis, I just don't see how he beats Robert Whittaker. I don't know what the odds are, but it can't be good. That's such a tough fight. Robert Whittaker beats everybody
except
not named Izzy. Yeah. He's that guy. He's so fucking talented.
So this is what Dricus du Plessis put on his, I think this Twitter or whatever. And then Israel replied.
Please win. Yeah, for Izzy, he'd much rather fight du Plessis, something new, instead of a third fight with Robert.
And if he beats Robert, then...
If he beats Robert, he completely deserves it. Yeah, I just don't see it happening. I'm not throwing shade on du Plessis. That's how high I think of Robert Whittaker.
Yeah. So that's cool how that plays out. This is also pretty cool. Robbie Lawler versus Nico Price. Ooh. And Dan Hooker versus Jalen Turner.
Hooker, Jalen Turner is ridiculous.
Yeah. They're both great fights.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, Sean Brady versus Jack Della Maddalena.
Ooh.
And Jack has been killing it too.
Oh, Jack, that boy got so much talent. Yeah. Sean Brady, man, they heavy lies the crown, man. You know, you coming off that loss against Muhammad, then you give you Jack. Oof.
I know.
That's tough one, day in the office. You guys know I love Sean Brady, but that Jack, man, he's a problem.
Rising star for sure. This is for UFC 289. Keto George sent this to our group. Chris Daukaus, who's a heavyweight.
Daukaus cutting down.
Yep.
Yeah, he looks like he could cut a few pounds.
And he's going to fight Khalil Roundtree, friend of the show.
The Philly cop cutting some weight, laying off the donuts in Philly, and the cheesesteaks.
And so Chris is actually, Daukaus, he's like on a 3-fight losing streak, and then Khalil's on a 3-fight winning streak. But it was a different weight class, though.
Yeah, tough. Tough fight for Chris.
And this one, too. This is a Fight Night headliner, which is crazy. So Marvin Vettori versus Jared Cannonier.
That makes sense. June 17th. Headline on a fight night or been on like a second or third fight on a pay-per-view. Mm. Makes sense. Especially how high these guys are ranked. It's just, they got to figure out middleweight. There's not a lot for Izzy there.
Mm.
That's why you're getting Robert Whittaker, you're getting the Hamzat, Paulo Costa, you're getting Marvin Vettori, and Jared Cannonier. They're trying to, you know, cut through all the fat there and get some contenders for Izzy.
Yeah. And then we have, I mean, we kind of knew this already, but Charles Oliveira, Beneil Dariush, they're rebooked for 289.
289 Co-main. Needed this, man. Usually they bring the heat in Canada, but this card is not great. Is it? Like, no one was like, oh, I'm just dying to see Pena and Amanda Part Nunes. Three.
Yeah.
Especially after the last one. It's a tough card to ask for money for.
Yeah. I mean,
if Dariush and Charles Oliveira didn't save this thing, dude, I don't know how you sell this. Mm-hmm. It's tough. Very, very tough.
By the way, pay-per-view, the freaking Ryan Garcia fight cost $84.99.
I think it was $89.99.
I forgot. It was like, either way, I didn't realize it was that expensive. I was like, but I still bought it. I was like,
damn right you did.
Okay, this is getting to like a different area territory, but I saw this passing. I saw this on social media. Israel Adesanya is making posts about his ex-girlfriend.
Why?
Something about how he doesn't go super clear into it, but he's kind of insinuating that she's trying to get half of his money.
Why?
I don't know. And then
she's a girlfriend.
No, it's not even a wife or not even a mother of his child or anything, as far as I know. But apparently she's trying to get some sort of money, and he's putting her on blast on his social media.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's never good when you do that.
That's what he said here.
You don't care about my life because you've sold info about me, so I don't care about yours. I don't even hate. I just don't care about you. I've not been in love with you for a while. In summary, I'm glad this happened. I wouldn't change a fucking thing.
And he's like slapping this on his like Instagram. So I mean, I don't. Do you know that the story about the soccer player? How he had he changed.
He put everything in his mom's name. She came for. He's like, I don't own anything.
Yeah. So he reposted something about
man that. Hall of Fame right there.
Yeah.
But I mean, what is she say, what is she alluding to? Like, what info did she release?
I mean, all he's saying, all we know is what he's saying, and he said that I guess she sold some sort of info about him.
What but could I don't sell?
Know. But he says like, you better lawyer up, you better do this. I'm gonna go after you.
Oh wow, go down.
Mm-hmm.
Me loading up receipts,
and there's a long
Forever Stylebender's X. Let me see that.
Wait, let me see if I can get it. All right, let's just see if I can zoom in here. Can you read that?
Is that that's her ex?
That's the thing that I don't get. So he puts it in quotations. So I think that he's saying that's her.
Okay.
So this is apparently her saying, I've worked in mental health, so I'm really good at manipulating people, but like I would never use it. It's not always fun living in his shadow and talking or taking second priority. Because what he is doing is so important. After a while, it just makes me feel small. And then Izzy, if I move out, I'll drift away. And it seems like this is where Izzy's talking to her, which is very long.
He says you have a sugar daddy now that will pay for it all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, super long. I don't know how.
Mentally drained me. Ha ha ha.
But it seems like if you mess with Izzy, he takes it out like hardcore. He'll put it out in public.
So this is the last thing you're hearing from me. My lawyers will be in touch and did the emoji of paint nails. Yeah. You know, comes with territory for these guys.
Yeah. And then he posted this as well. Well, I don't know if I can play this because it's a song, I think.
Oh, no. The villain. We root for the bad guy. We love the rebel. We love the rebel. Even if people that aren't rich, you know.
It's playing Charlemagne.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Because people who aren't in the best financial situation, that's all they have sometimes is just to act out. Mm. You know? And when you see, this is what people really love. When you see a motherfucker that is rich, that is in a position acting like a goddamn fool. You know what I'm saying? That's what they really love. They really love that this motherfucker don't give a shit. And he's in the position where he should actually give the fuck most. You know what I mean? America loves a rebel, man. And they love a rebel that actually has something. That's why we love when people become like big time celebrities and they still act like regular and still, you know, say suck my dick at an award show or get on TV and say George Bush don't care about black people. You know.
Yeah, is he doing Izzy?
Yeah, and he also made some headlines because he said something about, you know, men are getting soft, and he said, you know, what Andrew Tate says and Jordan Peterson is like the way, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Neither do I, but I was saying
he's right. Yeah, America's getting soft.
This is so jacked up. So this guy was a UFC fighter, Carl Robertson, and let me see if I have this. Okay, never mind. So Carl Robertson, he was a UFC for a while. I think he won a contender series and did like pretty well, but I guess he's going through some bad times now. So in December of 2022, he robbed one of his childhood friend's house for $200,000 worth of jewelry.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And then the dude even told him like So this guy is talking about Carl Robertson. He goes, before I had a dime to my name, I could barely afford this, but I made a pair of boxing gloves with my logo on it. With my for a sample, and I made him a pair of gloves with his nickname on it, Baby K. He goes, hey man, this is from me to you. I don't want anything for this. This is just something I want you to have. I'm proud of you. I did whatever I could to support him. And lo and behold, the day after Christmas, he basically line me up. I guess he gave him like thousands of dollars to help him out too before.
That's fine. yeah, it's a bummer. I built a whole logo for him, branded it, gave him tens of thousands of dollars with my time to build a brand. He basically screwed me over with that too. It's not the same kid I grew up with. It's not the same kid in those pictures. I had no idea Carl has this other side.
He would like text him because he was building.
Yeah, trust me.
He's building his house, and he would send him, "Hey, what do you think of this?" And then because of that, the whole all the like he gave him the diagram. The dude knew how to get to where the jewelry was and stuff like. It's so fucked up.
Yeah, people suck, man. Trust me, I've been.
Some people are people horrible. Suck,
dude.
Yeah,
you think they're good people and they're just the worst of the worst. People are good actors,
and he must be going. I don't know. It's not no excuse for it, even if you're going through shit. All right, so this, did you know this?
I saw.
Tim Sylvia?
Thick Tim Sylvia.
370
slapped
something?
Slapped the life out of some dude. Dude,
he's so big. Yeah, this is his debut. I guess he was a headliner. I'll just play
what
for
you. What poor soul decided to sign up for this? He's so big.
Dude,
his Skechers
so
on? My God.
But
he
I mean,
slapped the life out of him. Who the hell is signed up to get slapped by Tim Sylvia? Let me see that the angle.
Oh, it's a bouncer.
He's a bouncer.
Oh, that's his nickname.
They ain't getting up.
But I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Tim Sylvia's taking a little bit of a victory. That's it. Doctor calls the fight. That's a wrap. Tim Sylvia,
1-0.
1-0. Jesus Christ.
I mean,
I don't know who signed up to get slapped by that giant human being. Is that it, Chin?
That's pretty much it, man.
All right, man. Well, let's get into a little sit down with my boy, Bilal Muhammad, who has a massive fight coming up in 2 weeks, May 6th, against Gilbert Burns. Before we jump into this little chit-chat, the boy, Bilal Muhammad, who is on a freaking vengeance path to a title shot, this episode of The Shop Show with Bilal Muhammad is brought to you by Onnit, Onnit Supplements. Let me tell you something about Onnit. They've been my ride or die for a long, long time, and they've sold over a million bottles of Alpha Brain, a million bottles of that regular Alpha Brain. I start out with that, and then you got to step your game up. That's why I recommend Alpha Brain Black Label. Four little pills, you're ready to go. Next thing you know, you're writing formulations. You're a scientist. You feel fantastic. Promotes attention, focus, cognitive functions, including your memory, mental speed, and focus. All right, I need all the help I can get, for God's sakes. Aids in mental processing. It's caffeine-free. Helps you get to that flow state. All right? And then also what Onnit's doing for you guys, if you don't like the pills, they have their little Onnit Alpha Brain Instant, 8 ounces of cold water, boom, you're ready to go. Or they have the instant ready shots. The boom, the shots are easy as well. All right? Again, it's going to help you just get your freaking stuff done, man. And it gives you laser focus. Onnit also offers, if you didn't know, workout gear like kettlebells, steel club maces, sandbags, yoga mats. If you need nutrition, if you're staying thick, summer's coming up. It's going to be a thick boy summer. It's not out of shape boy summer. It's a thick boy summer. So stay thick, but be cool. All right. Onnit has all sorts of protein powders, creatines, multivitamins. They got it all, man. All right. They have streaming fitness, so you can keep your thick ass at home and work out from your device at home, in your garage, in your living room, whatever you want. They got it all. Onnit.com/shop. You get 10% off Alpha Brain Black, regular Alpha Brain Instant, Alpha Brain Shots, all the workout gear, the kettlebells, also on-demand workouts. You get 10% off everything. Onnit.com/shop. Now let's get to the interview. Mr. Muhammad.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ahmed, what's up, brother?
What's up, my brother? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you? You got to be feeling pretty good, man. Finally, you got a fight announced, man.
Yeah, man. Excited. I was sitting there waiting when it was going to happen, and it was like just dragging and dragging along. And I'm a guy I'm always training. I'm always like looking to see what's next. And obviously, once they pass me up on a title fight, I'm like, all right, well, who's it going to be? Like, who's going to be next? And when this opportunity came, I was like, bro, I got to jump on it.
Could you, I'm sure, you know, you're pretty active on social media. Could you feel like the majority of the hardcore fan base or anybody that kind of knows the sport, all of us were like, what about Muhammad though? Like, what are we doing here? Like, there's so many people advocating for you to get a fight, calling for a title shot. Like, could you feel that or did you know that was going on?
Yeah, that was the cool thing about the whole situation. It was like them giving the shot to Kobe. I think it like worked out better for me because that's when the fans started to be like, all right, well, bro, that doesn't make any sense at all. This guy's on an 8-fight winning streak. He has history with Leon. You know, what else does he need to do? So it was cool to see those fans, even the haters that were coming alive. Like, I was like getting so many messages like, I hate you, but you deserve the title. Like,
yeah, it's undeniable. It's like undeniable. Like when you look at your resume, you look at Gilbert Burns' resume, you know, and then when they said they're going to give it to Colby, it's just like, and you know, I like Colby, you know, to be transparent, like I like Colby. I don't have an issue with him. He's a really good fighter, but if you just, it's pretty black and white. Like, well, look at Belal Muhammad's, look at Gilbert Burns, like look at their resumes and he's had this year off. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me. You know, Dana can run it however he wants, but what's fair is fair. You know, there's rankings for a reason, even though he's ranked high still. It's like the guys who are active, I figured they'd give it to you. Now it's undeniable. Winner of you versus Gilbert Burns is 100% getting the title shot.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it was like, I knew there was nothing that was just going to be handed to me. I knew that no matter what, there was always going to be me still having to claw and, you know, get to the top any way possible. And even when I got to the top, I was still going to have to hold my breath because regardless of how I finished my last fight or who I beat, there's always an excuse of, oh, you beat this guy because of this, this guy because of this. Sean Brady, 15-0, undefeated, young guy.
Beast.
He sucks. He's not that good. No. And there was always like a reason and like excuses for everything. So for this one, it's like when this opportunity popped up, it was like, all right, well, Gilbert Burns has the hype. He just beat Masvidal. He just beat Magny. He's coming off of camp. I'm coming off the couch after Ramadan. I'm like, beating him now, there's no excuse. There's no excuse that could go against me now. It's like, I'm the one who just popped up and I was like, all right, well, let me fight the guy that just came off the camp, a guy that's already close to weight, a guy that's just won and has the momentum going in his way. And I go out there, I finish him, I dominate him. There's literally nothing you can say or do to deny me.
Nothing. When that was my question too, when the fight got announced, you know, I knew you were in Ramadan, which, you know, is a month long, right? Just ended on April 21st. Have you been able to train during that? Like that has to be challenging. That's why I thought, all right, the fight's in 2 weeks, come off Ramadan. So is it ideal? Are you all good? Like what's going on with that?
I mean, for me, it's like, I'm always in the gym. You're obviously not training as hard, but I think the biggest thing I get from Ramadan is like the mental strength. My mental toughness that I get from it is not eating or drinking throughout the day and I'm still training and pushing myself. I'm just in a different headspace. And a lot of these times when it comes to a short notice fight, it's not even about being in a shape. It's about what type of headspace you're in, what type of mindset you're in. Because when it comes down to the nitty gritty, it's all about who can push that much harder and who has the bigger heart, who has the harder mindset. And I know that with where I'm at right now in my headspace, a fight's a fight. Like, I don't care if I didn't jog enough miles. I don't care if I didn't swim enough laps. I know when it comes down to who's going to push harder than the other guy, there ain't nobody that's going to push harder than me.
Yeah, and you've been doing it long enough now where, you know, you know what it takes to get the win in there. You look at your resume. Yeah, and with the Gilbert Burns fight, when it was announced too, and not that odds matter. When I thought for sure you'd be a slight favorite going in the fight. When I look at the matchup and the style of the matchup, I was like, man, that's a great fight for Muhammad, man. Like, he's going to be able to do some work there. I was surprised you're a dog, which, all right, cool. That's all good. But when you heard the matchup, you have to like the matchup between you and Gilbert Burns. Even though he's been active, coming off some wins, I didn't think Gilbert looked his best against Masvidal. And I love Gilbert's a great guy. I don't know if you know Gilbert, you know, salt of the earth, great human being. But just as far as a straight black and white, take my bias out of it, watching the Masvidal fight, I didn't think he looked his best in that fight.
Yeah, you know, he's very cool. Like, I met him before. We've talked, like, great we have guy. The same, a lot of the same friends. And I've gone down to Sanford and I trained down there. Not with him, but like, I'm very cool with his coach. Henry Roof is the man. So, like, when the situation came up, it's like, I don't need to hate somebody to fight him. It's all about, we're both hungry for the same thing. We both want the same exact goal, and that's to be the champion. And I think that, you know, matchup stylistic wise, like, I fought the best grappler in the division with Damian Maya. I fought the best striker in the division with Wonder Boy. I fought the guy who knocked me out and his training partner in Luque, and I beat Luque. And I fought the new up-and-coming hot star, strongest guy in the division, and Sean Brady. I fought every single style, and I don't think Gilbert's fought anybody like me. I don't think Gilbert's fought anybody that's going to push it like me, move like me, adjust like me, make in-fight adjustments. Like, you see me fight backwards. You see me fight forward. You see me fight laterally. He doesn't know what I'm going to bring to the table. I know what he's going to bring to the table because I've been watching him, and he doesn't really change his game plan or his style up. And this being a short notice fight, there's not a lot of strategy that comes in it from his side. It's like, well, I'm going to do this because I'm good at it, but I'm better at it than you're good at.
I also think your last one over Sean Brady actually helps you in this fight, you know, because you look at Sean Brady's grappling background. Like, Sean Brady's no punk, man. You made it look easy and people must have forgot. But prior to that, prior to you beating the brakes off of him, Sean Brady's a bad dude, man. And you dismantle him like you did. It was almost a disservice to your win and to Sean Brady. To be like, oh, Sean Brady's not that good. It's like, no, he is. That's how good Muhammad is, you morons. Like, Brady still has a lot of, obviously has a lot of work to do, but as far as stylistically and compared to Gilbert Burns, he doesn't have the same striking Gilbert does, but on the ground and the grap, as far as the grappling aspect goes, I think that was kind of a good fight leading into the Gilbert Burns fight.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think he was a perfect stylistic. He has kind of like the same body type, and I know what they're both going to try to bring to the table. And like you said, man, I'm sitting here like, man, I hope Sean Brady gets a fight in, so he could go out there, dominate, and then people could be like, oh, well, I guess he is good. He doesn't suck. Because now it's like, people are like, oh, well, if Bilal knocked you out, man, you must really suck. Your stand-up sucks.
I don't get it.
If he goes out there and he dominates his next guy, then people are like, all right, same thing with Wonderboy. Where it's like, Wonderboy's old. Then he goes out there, beats Kevin Holland. And it's like, oh, well, I guess Wonderboy isn't old. I guess he still has a little bit of juice left in him. So it's, you always want the last guy you beat to end up winning. But like you said, it's like same body type, same style, same physique. Him and Gilbert have a lot of similarities, so it does work out kind of like for me a lot, because I'm kind of like going to really do basically the same thing in my mind what I did to Sean Brady to Gilbert.
Yeah, and I think just the stars aligned for you, you know, with this Gilbert Burns fight, because again, whatever the naysayers are saying about, oh, you know, Wonderboy's old, or Sean Brady's, you know, he's young, he's not that good. After Gilbert Burns, like, what else you got, man? What else we got? Guy's fought four times. You know, he's fought three times this year since May. He's beat everybody. What else you got, man? You know?
Yeah, and exactly. Gilbert Burns will be my third top five guy that I've beaten. And it's like, by the time I get to the title, I'm already going to be beating probably like the whole top 10. And
yeah,
once,
man,
I win the title, it's like, oh, man, he's going to be going through the division one more time again, another lap through it. But I'm basically going to be looking at Adesanya next, because I would already have gone through everybody just to get to the welterweight title.
Yeah, I think with this fight, the biggest problem you're going to have if the fight goes according to how I think it's going to go and how you think it's going to go, if you get past Gilbert Burns, your next issue, and it's going to be a good problem to have, is you're going to be waiting a while to fight the winner of Leon versus Colby, because, you know, Leon's not fighting in the London pay-per-view card. He's like, I'm not fighting. So he's fighting, you know, probably quarter three, quarter four of this year. And so then you'd fight the winner of that. So you're looking at early 2024, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but honestly, if Leon's saying he wants to fight in Abu Dhabi, and he said Abu Dhabi coming out of his mouth, and he said, I don't want to fight Colby. Yeah, and I go out there and I finish Gilbert Burns, it's like, you have to put me in Abu Dhabi against Leon Edwards. The timing will be perfect. Leon wants to fight there. Having me fight there and Arab fighting in Abu Dhabi for a title, it's different. I know Islam fighting there is huge. He's been being Muslim, but we speak the same language. We have the same blood inside of us. To have an Arab fight in Abu Dhabi in front of his people would be bigger than anything you could do.
I also think it puts the pressure on Dana White. I know he's pretty, you know, steadfast on Colby Covington getting this title shot, but if you go out there and you make a convincing, you know, push, and you finish Gilbert Burns, which is damn hard to do, and you beat Gilbert and you give him a freaking promo towards Leon Edwards, the UFC's like, all right, man, all right, there's nothing, he's done everything. There's nothing else. You can't hold this guy back any longer.
Exactly. And that, like I said, stuff always changes in this sport. And, you know, Dana White could say whatever he wants, but like, he's a businessman. He understands the business of it. If I go out there and I put on that big thing, there is history between me and Leon. There is no history between Colby and Leon. There is nothing that's going to be a good build up to that fight. You go there, you bet, man, this guy fought 2 week notice right after Ramadan. Now he's fighting the guy that poked him in the eye. And like, there's something there. There's something there with that fight. And there's something that you could build off of that fight. And it'll be a huge moment. And for the UFC, they'll get a lot more respect from the fans, I think, to get somebody that deserves it more than Kobe.
You know what the biggest thing is that you're missing, Bill? It's the right thing to do. You know what I'm saying? Like that, come on.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, it is a sport. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. At the end of the day, it is a professional sport. Like, it's the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, as much as the Kobe and all that, and Kobe does bring a fan base, but this is the right thing to do, man.
Yeah, I was just watching the Michael Jordan movie, The Air yesterday.
Oh, how was it? With Ben Affleck?
It was really good. It was really good. It was cool. And it was like, kind of like how Michael Jordan's mom like wanted, she's the one who wanted a percentage of every shoe that had Michael Jordan's name on there. And, you know, Nike, they never did it before, but he's like, you know, it's the right thing to do, whatever. Let's do it. We're going to change the game, but we're going to do it. And then it like changed everything, and it changed his life, and it changed the way that sports in general, made shoes for athletes.
Yeah. I think for you too, it's like you have the hardcores and the UFC fan base on your side. Everyone wants to see you get the title shot because you deserve it. And I think, you know, if you were to become world champion too, once people get to know you and they see your story, like there's a star there. There's a fucking, if they just put a little shine on this thing, man, we got a diamond here. And I'm not even saying diamond in the rough. It's not that rough. Like you proved yourself. You know what I'm saying? It's like, as soon as the light goes over there, boom, it's gangbusters for you, brother.
Yeah. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm sitting there like, bro, I'm promoting myself. I'm pushing myself. Let me get a little bit of something out of the UFC. And more people will see it. More people will realize, oh, dang, you know, he is a cool guy. I get it all the time. People are like, oh, man, I hated you for some reason, but, man, I don't know why. And it's like, you don't know me. So, like, a lot of these people just go with the losers or the trolls on Twitter, and they'll think that it's a certain way because of that. But then when you meet me in person or you hear my story more, you're like, oh, dang, this is just a regular guy that works twice as hard as everybody else.
Works his ass off, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a guy that has the Francis Ngannou power or the crazy Adesanya movement. I haven't been doing martial arts since I was a kid. I started when I was 22, 23 years old, and I just worked twice as hard as everybody else.
Yeah, your time's coming, my man. You know, it's coming, brother. It's just, that's all you can do is be patient. It's coming, and you're doing it the right way. Before this Gilbert Burns fight, there was a lot of rumors that you're going to fight, was it Shavkat, right? Was there any rumor that? And then I saw you take a picture with Dana. You're like, don't believe everything you read on the internet. So I was like, oh, maybe it's not happening. Because that made no sense to me. I was like, oh, they're doing my boy dirty. That makes no sense.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it was like, there's nothing ever, a fight ever offered with Shavkat. And it was like, Dana mentioned it once in an interview. But then like we had our meeting. And after the meeting, we thought we were going to fight Kamaru. And for me, it was like Kamaru was ranked number one in the division. He's a ex-champion, and you know, I even talked with Kamaru, and he's like, yeah, we can do it. Great so, fight. Like, I thought that was going to be the fight, and it was like, it was probably going to happen in July, August, so there was really no timetable on it. It was still waiting on him to figure it out. So then when I had this opportunity, it was like, I could skip all that, because I could sit there, go through a full 8-week, 12-week camp to fight Kamaru, and there's nothing guaranteed. I could still go out there, get caught with one punch, and get dropped, and you know, the first minute. So for me, it's like, when opportunity knocks, and it's a big opportunity like this on a pay-per-view to be a co-main event, and then knowing that I beat Gilbert Burns, there's nothing else ahead of me. I had to take it.
No, I love it, man. And when you look at, obviously Kobe was in the news because he threatened our boy, John Anik, which, you know, what Kobe's thing, you know, he does the WWE thing where he pushes the line, then, you know, not similar to Kanye, but Kanye's always pushing the envelope, and then he crossed the line when we went for Jews. Kobe crossed the line, went for John Anik. He doesn't realize how beloved John Anik is. And that's where people are like, oh, hell no. That's when he realized he crossed the line. You know what I'm saying? So I think with Kobe doing that, you know, it almost helps you. It's like the, you know, you're the good guy, you're the superhero here, and he, you know, he's the villain. So even if Kobe were to beat Leon, there's a great story there of good guy versus bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. And especially with that one, like I've been calling out the Kobe fight for years, even before it was the cool to call out Kobe. I was calling him out when it was like my second or third fight in the UFC, because from then I wanted to just, I like the style matchup, and I wanted to test myself. Now I just hate him. And it's just like you said, the stupid stuff he says is just moronic. And now, like you said, you cross the line, you know, you thought it would be cool. You thought it'd be good, but no, you don't come at John Anik. John Anik's not the guy you come at.
No, there's two guys you don't come at.
To defense.
Yeah, you don't come. You don't come after Rogan or Anik. That them the rules. Yeah. Dana, he'll take his. You know, he'll take his shit enough of it, and he encourages it. But Anik and Rogan are off limits, dude. You just can't. You just can't get away with it. You know. I'll get you out of it after this, bud, because I know you gotta get some more training in. I don't keep you too long, man. But if Colby and Leon does come to fruition, you have to wait. How do you see Colby and Leon going down?
I see, kind of like a little bit like the second fight with Usman. I think he showed a game plan to beat Leon, is pushing him to the fence, taking him down. He gets up, keep taking him down, keep pressuring him. I think the third fight, Usman just wasn't, all there. I think he was a little bit hesitant off of that knockout. And even though it was still a close fight, I still just think that his confidence wasn't there with his wrestling, his entering. He was thinking about the head kick too long. Okay. Colby, he's just going to be in your face, shoot on you 50 times. But he's not as good as Usman at holding you down. Mm-hmm. I think eventually Leon will end up catching him. And I do think that Leon can finish him. If it's not a finish by Leon, it'll definitely be a decision by Colby.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think you're looking at the Kamaru Usman and Leon, the last fight, their third fight. I thought it was a matter of, Kamaru being a little gun shy there. But also, I think Leon Edwards has gotten better, exceptionally better since the first time they fought. I think Leon has gotten better even more so over the years than Colby has. So I think Leon's getting better, gaining some tools, and these other guys are kind of staying the same and getting a little older, but Leon keeps getting better and he's kind of, widening the gap there.
Yeah. And he's sharpening everything else. Like you said, he's getting more tools. Colby, he's sticking to what he knows and the level of competition. Colby, his last fight was against Masvidal. The last guy he beat before that was Robbie Lawler. Those aren't like guys that are as hungry. These up-and-comers that are, every one of these guys is starving. Like, Kobe's not fighting guys that are starving. Yeah, he had close fights with Usman, but it was just two wrestlers that were kickboxing. Yep. And there's not much there. So you knew what you were going to get from those fights. He's not sharpening. He's not getting better. He's not bringing something new to the table. Leon, his wrestling defense getting better. He's switching stances. He's showing you that, he does have that knockout power in the fifth round. So I could see him still being hungry. Colby's doesn't have that same hunger. I think he knows what wins in fights, and he's just trying to keep sharpening those tools up. But now you come to expect what we're going to get from him.
Well, no one can argue you got probably the toughest strength of schedule out there, man, that deserves a title shot. You got that SEC football Alabama schedule, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is murderer's row. I'm happy you got this fight, man. You know who I'm rooting for, brother. And I appreciate you taking the time, and I can't wait to see it, man. And we're doing a fight campaign for it. We got Ryan Garcia, some other big names. We're all going to be rooting for you, man. So best of luck, brother. Stay healthy in camp. Do the damn thing, and we'll talk to you after.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, man.
All right, brother. Talk soon. All right, kids. Hope y'all enjoyed the show with Belil Muhammad just breaking down his big-ass fight May 6th. For the big UFC pay-per-view, we will be doing a fight campaign for that Kyle Bass fight campaign right here live from Thick Boys Studios to watch Muhammad get the damn thing done. We have a very special guest in Ryan Garcia joining the campaign and two other monsters all announced coming up shortly here. So tune into that. That will be 7 p.m. live on Thick Boy YouTube May 6th for the big UFC pay-per-view. Outside that, like, subscribe. We'll be blasting out a bunch more content. Hopefully y'all dig it. Far as touring goes, May, I'll be doing spots around LA, and we have the Fight Companion. But next date, as far as the tour goes, is La Jolla, California, La Jolla Comedy Store, right outside San Diego. Two shows on Friday, two shows on Saturday, and then one show on a Sunday. So that is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, June 2nd through June 4th at the Comedy Store in La Jolla. So come get you some. And then I'm jumping across the pond in June for the summer. I'm in Europe. I'm in Belfast. I kick off with Belfast. That's June 15th. These are one show only. It's a theater run. So one show in Belfast, one show in Glasgow, June 17th. One show in Manchester. I think, Manchester, that's June 18th. London, O2 Theater, June 22nd. Cardiff, June 23rd. Dublin, my favorite I've ever been to, June 25th. Get your tickets now at thickboy.com. That's it, kids. Love ya. See you next time. I'm out. Out of the way for the gold.
Move out of the way for the gold. Oh, big knee!
The greatest of all time.
Here we go, the epic trilogy fight.
For the first time ever, Demetrius Johnson defends the one flyweight world championship in the USA.
Greatest of all time. I'm an animal. No bark on bite. That's why they call me GOAT.
on Fight Night 10, Johnson versus Marais 3 on Prime Video.